You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up, a lot of people have made the case that a good guy with a gun is what's needed to help mass shootings like the one last month in Orlando, Florida. And we talked to a guest who takes on that idea. Right now, we have our weekly check-in about all of the political happenings in Washington. The FBI concluded its investigation into Hillary Clinton's use of a private email server while she was Secretary of State. Bernie Sanders got a cold reception from Democrats in Congress, and Donald Trump is polling poorly with a typically strong Republican demographic. Now, joining us now to go over the latest in national politics is Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst for 538. Harry, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back.
Well, let's start with, I guess, the biggest news of the week, FBI director addressing Hillary Clinton's ongoing email scandal. Here's what he had to say.
Look, I was on the ticket in 2012. After the convention, you get the full, deep, classified information as part of transition, as part of being a nominee. I think the DNI, Clapper, should deny Hillary Clinton access to classified information during this campaign, given how she so recklessly handled classified information.
Actually, that's House Speaker Paul Ryan speaking to the media about the decision. So let's start there. So Speaker Ryan, not the only Republican, obviously, to criticize, but what do you make of what he said there?
Republicans and Democrats both heard what they want to hear yesterday from, you know, the head of the FBI. Hillary Clinton's not going to be indicted, which means that the last remaining sort of roadblock to her being the Democratic nominee for president has been removed. Democrats are going to rally around her, while at the same time, James Comey gave plenty of dirt on Clinton in the way that she handled the email system, things that perhaps should not have been done, which she did anyway. And Republicans like Paul Ryan were more than happy to jump on that. And it's going to be very interesting to see as the campaign develops whether or not some of the words that Director Comey used yesterday make their way into some political ads. I wouldn't be shocked if they do for the Republican Party, because Hillary Clinton didn't come out smelling exactly like roses, although she's certainly very much still alive in this presidential race.
And so she's been cleared legally, no charges for the time being, but how do you see the issue taking shape from here? You say it's not going to go away, so you see an ad. Anything else? Is it going to be a major sticking point, do you think, going forward, a liability?
I mean, sure, it's a liability. I'm not sure how large of a liability it is. You know, each candidate has their pluses and minuses. You know, I think it adds to the idea that she's not exactly trustworthy. The words in the Washington Post gave her four Pinocchios for how she had previously described the email server situation. She was, in fact, not telling the entire truth. I think it also talks to her potential to be incompetent. Remember, you're running against Donald Trump, and you're trying to argue he's not up to the job. And then all of a sudden you have these types of words coming out of the director of the FBI's mouth saying that, in fact, you acted in many ways incompetently, even if it wasn't grossly negligent, that, you know, this is something that could certainly be used against her by Donald Trump and the Republicans in the fall campaign.
Now, while FBI Director James Comey was giving his statement, calling the use of the email server extremely careless, Hillary Clinton was on a plane with Barack Obama getting ready to campaign together, and they did not choose to comment on this. Hillary Clinton did not comment herself. It took a little while for her to respond, for her campaign to respond. What do you make of that choice?
I think, you know, it's basically, at the end of the day, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton are two of the most disliked candidates running for president of the United States. It just so happens that Donald Trump is more disliked than Hillary Clinton is at this particular time. If I'm Hillary Clinton, I want to cede the spotlight as much as possible to Donald Trump to allow him to make a fool of himself. And it didn't take more than 8 or 9 hours for him to start praising Saddam Hussein. So I don't think it's that shocking that she doesn't want to have the light shown upon her server while she was at the State Department. And, I mean, she did respond eventually and basically said, look, I'm not going to be indicted. They said that it wasn't an indictable offense. And that's the end of it. So, no, I'm not surprised that she waited. She'd rather let Donald Trump make a fool of himself.
Let's move forward and look at where Bernie Sanders is right now. I just read an article from Politico today that said Bernie Sanders is still talking like he's a candidate in the race. So what do you think about how he's speaking today?
I mean, look, Bernie Sanders can do whatever he wants to do. He appeared on CNN earlier today in which he essentially ceded the major points that make a presumptive nominee or an eventual nominee. He ceded the points that Hillary Clinton won more pledged delegates, won more votes, won more delegates overall, and won more states than he did. And ergo, he doesn't really deny that Hillary Clinton is going to be the nominee. But at the same time, he makes the point that there is more that goes into a convention than just who has the most votes. He is trying to assure that his people, that the Democratic platform and Hillary Clinton's platform represents their viewpoints. Whether or not that actually occurs to his satisfaction, I don't know. But that is what he's trying to do.
Now, Bernie Sanders met with House Democrats this morning. It was a closed-door meeting, but it didn't seem to go particularly well for Sanders. What happened?
Well, essentially, they booed him. A number of boos that came out against him, and the reason that they were booing him is because he is not getting fully behind Hillary Clinton at this time. But it's not only that. It's also the fact that he said that it's more than just winning and losing this particular election, which I think a lot of Democrats who are elected officials don't necessarily agree with. For them, it is about winning and losing. And more than that, you know, Bernie Sanders has made a lot of noise about getting rid of superdelegates, and the House Democrats are, in fact, superdelegates. And more than that, the Congressional Black Caucus, which is a major part of the House Democratic Caucus as a whole, has come out in favor of superdelegates, and vigorously so. So I don't really think it's much of a surprise that Bernie Sanders was booed. The real question is whether he cares, and I'm not sure that he necessarily does.
Well, as I understand it, House Democrats are waiting for him to officially endorse Hillary Clinton, get behind her with a full-throated endorsement, and we haven't exactly seen that yet. Do you think that he has misgivings about what he's going to do, or do you think, like, as he's suggesting, that he's trying to influence as much as he can until the last minute that he can?
I mean, look, he is going to vote for Hillary Clinton in the fall. I don't think there's pretty much any doubt about that. I think he is trying to play with the cards he was dealt. There is some question as to whether he will formally endorse her versus just vote for her. That apparently has become a new thing this cycle, where you can vote for someone while not endorsing them. I'd never really heard that very much before from a public official, but Republicans are doing it with Trump, and Sanders seems to be doing it with Clinton. So, you know, I don't really know what Bernie Sanders will do. My guess, based upon everything he has said, is that he will formally endorse her. But I think he's trying to get the most out of the situation he was dealt. And so far, nothing else. Hillary Clinton came a long way on Bernie in terms of forgiving college debt, and moved much closer to Bernie Sanders' position on free college in the past few days. So maybe he has a point. Maybe he's a pretty decent politician, which isn't so surprising, given he won a lot of votes this past primary season.
We're talking with Harry Enten from 538.com, looking at the latest from the campaign trail. And Harry, you recently wrote something for 538 about where Trump stands among likely voters. And what you said is that he's not actually polling that well among white voters with college degrees. Break it down. What do you see there?
So this is very interesting. If you go back to the 1956 election, which is really the first election in which I feel we have good data in terms of understanding how white voters with at least a college degree voted, we see that, at least according to the American National Election Study, which is essentially the go-to study for academics, that the Republican presidential nominee has won among that subgroup in every single presidential election since 1956. The last election was fairly close, where Mitt Romney came within only won by 6 points, but he still won. And in fact, when we look at the polling this year, what we see when we average across a bunch of different polls, we see that, in fact, Hillary Clinton is leading among white voters with a college degree. Why is that important? Well, it's important for any number of reasons, but not the least of which is they are a growing segment of white voters overall. And also because Hillary Clinton is doing particularly poorly with white voters without a college degree, by doing better with white voters with a college degree, she's helped canceling out any loss that she has with those quote-unquote white working class voters that Trump is so badly trying to accumulate in order to win the presidency. And that's part of the big reason why she's leading the polls right now, is because of her strength with white voters with a college degree.
Do you think that Donald Trump can make up with his white working class voters what he's missing with his white college educated voters?
I mean, sure, it's possible. I mean, he's not doing it right now. In fact, if you basically look at the math, you see that he's basically, and you look at the polls that have come out, he basically, if in fact he held the ground that Mitt Romney had with white voters with a college degree and was doing as well as he was doing with white voters without a college degree, this race would be a toss-up right now. It essentially would be tied, maybe Hillary Clinton up by a point, but probably a little less than that. But in fact, what's going on is because Hillary Clinton is doing so well with white voters without a college degree, she is basically canceling out any of those gains. So he'll either have to do better with one of those two groups, and right now he's not doing well enough with either of them to actually have a lead in this election.
So, Harry, we've got the Republican convention coming up in a couple weeks. Looking at where you see Donald Trump needing to make up some ground, what do you expect him to do at the convention, or what do you think that he needs to do to make up that ground?
Well, I tell you, I don't know what I can expect him to do. I've long run out of ways to express that I don't exactly know what to expect from Donald Trump, except to expect the unexpected. But what I would think he would have to do is he needs to stop with, you know, just statements such as, I love the uneducated, these nativist appeals, retweeting stuff from anti-Semitic accounts, criticizing judges because of their heritage like he did with Judge Curiel. These are the types of things that college-educated voters hear and get very, very worried about. And there needs to be some appeal to those with a higher education at this convention. I don't know exactly how you do that without, you know, foremost just not offending them. That's a start. Beyond that, I'm not exactly sure. Perhaps nominating a vice president who appeals to them. I'm not particularly sure who that is. Maybe it's Mike Pence from Indiana, though I'm not sure he would necessarily be the best choice, but perhaps the best of the ones that are being discussed. But, I don't really know exactly how it makes up because he's dug himself such a deep hole with them. I'm just not sure he can make it up, but we'll see what happens.
Now, speaking of a line you just used there, expecting the unexpected, I ran across an interview with your boss, Nate Silver, who has had a huge success in the past predicting elections. And someone was saying, you know, look, this one didn't turn out so well when it came to Donald Trump. And as another numbers guy, someone who reads the statistics, who reads the polls, what do you think lessons learned here? I mean, I know it's early, the election is not over, but obviously this was a swerve for you guys. What do you think happened and what are you going to do differently, if anything?
Trust the polls. That's the thing we need to do. We need to trust the polls. If you look at the national polls from late July of 2015 onward, you saw that Donald Trump led in over 90% of the national polls. He led in over 90% of the polls in the state of New Hampshire, the state of South Carolina, two very early and important primaries. In the general election, we need to trust the polls. We shouldn't substitute our own judgment of trying to guess where the polls are going to go. And at this point, if you look at the polls and we understand how predictive they've been in the past at this particular time, Hillary Clinton is the favorite. It doesn't mean she's guaranteed, but she is the favorite, and we should trust the polls. That is the lesson from the primary. Trust the polls.
So if you trusted the polls, you think you guys would have seen Harry Enten out on top? Donald Trump
sure.
out on top.
If we took polls of my parents, we would have seen me out on top. But yes, that's exactly right. In fact, if you look back and you look at the individual state forecast that we had, which basically mostly relied upon the polling data, in fact, we did a pretty gosh darn good job once we had that polling data and we relied upon it instead of relying on other indicators.
Harry, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you.
That was Harry Enten. He's a senior political writer and an analyst for 538.com, and he joins us every week to talk about the latest in national politics. Coming up after the news, we'll talk to a guest who says a good guy with a gun isn't always the best way to halt mass shootings. I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.